Now, if this isn't talking out both sides of your mouth, I don't know what is. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Hey, great to be with you, Barry, and on one of our rare occasions face-to-face in the studio.
That's right. Here we are face-to-face. And no, Chuck, I wasn't referring to us when I was talking about talking out of both sides of your mouth. I normally just talk out of the right side here because that's where the microphone is.
Well, we've been sitting here talking about other people who are talking out of both sides of their mouth, and I'm sure we'll do a show on it very soon.
Yeah, that's right. We're not going to unleash on the one that we were discussing on our listeners today, but you will be hearing about it. No, but the one we're going to unleash on today, Chuck, is this kind of carries on the theme of what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks in regard to the Republican Party. Now, for those of you who've not been paying attention at all this week, or like Chuck and I have been buried under your workload, there's been a little thing going on that few people have been paying attention to in Washington, D.C., at a little building there off the mall called the United States Supreme Court building. Because you see, the justices are hearing oral arguments on two different cases. One of which was handled, I believe, on Tuesday, was an argument regarding whether or not it was constitutional for A, the people of the state of California, to adopt Proposition 8, saying that marriage could only be between one man and one woman, or vice versa, if it was constitutional for the state of California to invalidate the will of their voters by saying that no matter what the voters did, we will not uphold and we will not allow to be taken effect in the state of California that marriage is between one man and one woman, because you see, we are a very gay, happy state out here.
Except that I think that thing passed like 65-35 or 60-40.
It was just like virtually every other state in the union that has put this on their ballot to defend marriage, not to expand it to same sex, but to defend traditional marriage, has passed by over 60% of the popular vote. So there's a strong, regardless of what all the spinmeisters have been saying lately about the American people softening on gay marriage, when it comes down to voting, the voters are still strongly in favor of traditional one-man, one-woman marriage. However, that hasn't stopped certain people from basically saying, oh, we got to get with the times, folks. We've got a kinder, gentler society out there now that wants to embrace homosexual unions. And we need to do so not because it's the right thing to do, not because it's the most loving thing to do, because it's the most politically expedient thing to do.
Let's talk about this for a second. There's a book, and it's called The Day America Told the Truth.
Okay.
And what it's about is people lie to pollsters.
Yes, yes they do.
And the reason they lie to pollsters is because they don't want the pollster to feel badly about them. Therefore, they will give pollsters, especially in very politically charged or emotionally charged or sociologically charged things, like, for instance, homosexual marriage.
Right.
They will give them the answer that they think the pollster wants to hear and will think most highly of. And then when they go to the ballot box,
they vote their conscience.
They vote their conscience. I believe that we're running into that situation right now. I also believe the other side knows this.
Of course they do.
So they don't actually want to run a referendum. They want to pretend that polling tells the whole story when, in fact, it does not.
Well, and it's interesting, though, Chuck, because it's this polling that's the problem. Because what is the politician's lifeline to re-election? Polling.
Polling.
All politicians live and die by polls these days because, frankly, most of them are so far out of whack in their own beliefs and their own voting records with their constituencies that they need to be able to get out there and get on the stump and say what they think people want to hear. And that's what they're doing. But then again, if we have that polling issue that even the ones who are being polled want to tell somebody what they want to hear, what we have is an echo chamber.
Yes.
And that echo chamber can get dangerous when you're dealing with highly charged social issues such as homosexual marriage, which I hate even saying those two words in the same phrase together because they're diametrically opposed. You can't have marriage and homosexuality. It just doesn't work because God defined what marriage is. That's Genesis 1, where created, leave, cleave, man, woman, marriage. That's it.
It's a permanent union between a man and a woman.
There for is a specific purpose.
Yes.
And that specific purpose, Chuck?
Well, procreation is number one, but it's also he created it to serve as a picture of his chosen Messiah, the relationship between his chosen Messiah and his bride. the Messiah's bride.
Yes.
Which is the church. So marriage serves really a twofold purpose. And this is the reason that God throughout the Old Testament calls homosexual marriage or homosexual relations an abomination.
Now, Chuck, you've just violated the cardinal rule of responsible, compassionate, sensitive, respectful dialogue on this issue. You brought up the Old Testament.
Yes.
How dare you?
I know.
And you know what? You are getting called to the carpet, not by me, but by Republican National Committee Chairman Rince Priebus. You see, I knew we were going to tie these things together sooner or later because I knew these guys just couldn't help themselves.
No. And in fact, what we've been talking about for the last 10 days or so.
Oh, at least.
Are some of these things where these guys continually shoot themselves in the foot because they think they're listening to the polling data and believing it.
And believing it. That's why I called it the echo chamber, because they're hearing what they want to hear.
Right.
Now, Priebus came out, and I believe this was on Wednesday, he came out, and he basically said to the GOP faithful, get in the 21st century on this same-sex marriage issue. He says, quote, I don't believe we need to act like Old Testament heretics, unquote. Woo! Rince, you need to go back and read your Bible a little bit. The ones who were heretical were the ones who were trying to change or ignore God's word or say that it said something that it didn't say. Sort of like what you're trying to do.
Yeah, Old Testament heretics. That's a very interesting statement if you think about it, because it's, first of all, I'd have to ask what church Rince Priebus goes to. But
I don't even want to go there.
Yeah, I don't even want to go there, really, because anyone who says that the Old Testament is in itself heretical is a heretic.
Is a heretic, that's exactly
because
right.
Because I will show my pedigree here. I am a Presbyterian, which means that I believe that the Old and New Testaments are continuous.
Yes, exactly.
Now, what that means is continuous. Are there things that are still in effect that were in effect in the Old Testament? No, there are things that have been fulfilled, parts of the law that have been fulfilled, and parts of the law that are still intact.
Yes, yes, indeed. But Priebus believes that if you're referencing the Bible in relation to this homosexual issue, you're a heretic because you're using it incorrectly, intolerantly, Chuck. Now, and it's interesting here. Let us think this through and parse Priebus's comments. Now, these comments were pulling from the Washington Times, ladies and gentlemen, who ran an article called RNC Chairman Rince Priebus to GOP, Don't Go, quote, Old Testament, unquote, on gays. But they had some quotes from Priebus in here. And I want to kind of unpack this a little bit because I think it's interesting. Now, of course, the GOP right now is coming out big on trying to moderate their stance, so to speak, on this issue. You've had Ohio GOP Senator Rob Portman, who came out last week, conveniently enough, announcing that something he's known for 2 years, that one of his sons has decided that he wants to engage in homosexuality. And he identifies with his sexual proclivity. But everybody's supposed to give him a pass and accept that Rob Portman talked to his pastor, who we found out was Methodist, not Catholic. I was wrong on that. That he talked to his pastor, and in his study of the Bible, that God was okay with that, and we should just love them and let them do what they want to do and just feel good about ourselves. Well, and you've also got former Solicitor General under George Bush, Ted Olson, who is the lead attorney for the gay rights groups before the United States Supreme Court, trying to get Proposition 8 ruled unconstitutional. You also have Meg Whitman, who the Republicans ran for the governor of California, who is the chairman of Hewlett-Packard Company. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's big business money there. Who led a group of quote-unquote conservatives, which we put the neo in front of that, and
you're closer to the truth.
Coming out publicly about 3 weeks ago with this statement of all these conservatives that supported same-sex marriage. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to create this echo chamber so that it sounds like everybody in the GOP is in favor of same-sex marriage. So Priebus knows that he's got people in the Republican Party. And you and I know some of those people. They're friends of ours. They run groups like Citizens for Community Values and some of the other pro-family groups out there who are saying, not so fast here. Hey, you want to see a poll? We took one in 2004 in Ohio. 63-36.
That's right.
In favor of traditional one-man, one-woman marriage. Now, of course, Ohio is dealing with a situation where the homosexual rights groups, Equality Ohio and others, And they formed this group called Ohio Freedom to Marry, and they're out collecting signatures because they want to go to the ballot this fall with a constitutional amendment to basically overturn the marriage amendment. Now, it's a little crafty. It doesn't say right up front that it's overturning it, but what it's going to do is it's going to create enough holes in it that it basically destroys it.
It'll modify it to the point where it becomes meaningless.
I think we call that neuter, which means that it's incapable of procreation, right?
Yes.
Amazing that the gay groups are putting that kind of thing out there, right?
Well, keep that point in mind. Phil may be able to use that.
Yeah, we may be able to use that whole neuter idea. But I want to get back to Priebus, because he's right here trying to say that we're taking sides in the GOP, and the side's going to be with all the progressive, moderate, neocon liberals who think that we ought to be open and affirming to gays. And he says, right, we have to, quote, strike a balance between principle and grace and respect. Okay. So basically what you're saying is a principle has to submit to respect, even if what's being put out there is diametrically opposed to every principle you believe in. If that's the case, why are Republicans bothering to run for office? Shouldn't we have the grace and respect just to give the Democrats the seat?
Well, that seems to be the goal of Rince Priebus.
It does seem to be the goal. Now, but let's take this in another aspect here, Chuck, and work with me here. He's just said we have to strike a balance between principle and grace and respect. But then he also says we do have a platform, and we adhere to that platform. Now, that was that talking out of both sides of your mouth thing that I was mentioning earlier. But what is a platform? It's a statement of what?
Principle.
Principles. So we adhere to our principles, but then he's saying on the other side of his mouth, in the same breath, we have to strike a balance between principle and grace and respect. So in other words, we are going to abandon our platform principles in order to reach out. As he says, we don't want to divide or subtract people from our party. We want to be so big tent. We want to make it so that everybody's comfortable, which means you have to get rid of your
principles. This exactly explains the first two shows that we did this week.
Yes, it does.
We talked about the Ohio groups that were basically signing a petition, and you said basically you thought it was a waste of time and effort.
And I still hold that.
I'm not sure you're wrong on that. I have not signed it, and our group hasn't signed it. But exactly explains what's going on inside the Republican Party. Principle is something you adhere to during primary season.
When you need the conservative wing of your party to come out and work for you and vote for you.
And in the fall, you strike a balance with grace and respect.
Yeah, well, exactly, because you want to be broad and big tent and make sure that everybody votes for you and everybody loves you. It's the old Richard Nixon saying, you run as hard as you can to the right to secure the nomination and then run as fast and hard as you can back to the middle, or to the left in this case, in order to win the general.
Which he was an expert at.
Well, which basically, with all this running back and forth and flapping their hands in the air, what Rince Priebus is saying is, if you have principles, if you have beliefs that are based upon God's unchanging, absolute moral standards, there's really no place for you in the Republican
Party. That's exactly what he's saying, basically.
That's exactly what he's saying, because you have no grace and you have no respect for people.
If you expect to succeed or survive in the Republican Party, you had better be ready to chuck your principles at a moment's notice, is exactly what he's just basically stated.
Well, maybe not a moment's notice, but maybe at the release of the next polling data.
And remember the day America told the truth. And America told the truth last fall, because the Republicans did chuck their principles when they nominated the person they nominated, Mitt Romney. And everybody, don't kid yourselves, folks. Don't listen to this stuff about how we were defrauded. The Republicans had this and that, and they were too conservative. With Mitt Romney, they were too conservative. No, the fact is that what happened there was the electorate took a look at the candidates, said there's not a dime's worth of difference between these two parties, and they stayed home.
Well, Chuck, you know, I wish I had a dime for all the times I've said that to people, because, well, we'd be able to fund our organization on an endowment.
No kidding.
But you know what, Chuck? Sometimes people have to learn things the hard way. And I got a feeling for some of our friends in the GOP that hard way is coming, and it's coming faster than they want to believe. Now, what I've been hearing, they've been given promises from the Ohio Republicans, we'll stand and fight for traditional marriage. Really?
No, they won't.
Does that mean that they're not going to be full of grace and full of respect then? what will happen? Will Rince Priebus then tell the Ohio GOP, well, you can't come to the convention, you can't come to the party because you're not towing the line. You're sticking too much to the platform.
I predict two cheers for traditional marriage.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be, rah, okay, we're all for marriage, rah, rah. That will be the enthusiasm level from the Ohio Republican Party. And the fact is, that's going to result in a disaster in 2014.
I see the tsunami coming.
Now, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.